If I asked any of your families if they were anything like the Holy Family, you all would tell me, absolutely not. Okay? Because all of us have the feeling in our own lives that somehow our family, looks more like, say, the Adams family than it does, the Holy Family. Because all of our families are filled with a little bit of craziness. All of our families are filled with a little bit of tension. All of our families are filled with a little bit of strife and discord from time to time. Because we all know that that is what normal families are indeed like. But from the beginning of our history, we've always been told to honor our father and our mother. We've always been told that the family is important. And we know that theoretically, even as we come to terms with the fact that our own families may not have always been picture perfect. For example, if you struggled with your relationship with your mother or your father, sometimes hearing that first reading about how to honor them sometimes gives you great anxiety and starts stirring up all kinds of things inside you, okay? Especially if there's been any kind of a split in the family or any kind of tension. I just want you to take a deep breath this morning, okay? And let that go. Because no family is absolutely perfect. But we have to honor the idea of family. Because if we don't honor the idea of family, we never get there. Even in our own church, look at how many people have left the church over the course of time because someone who was named father did poorly or wrong by them. Think of the abuse that's occurred in the church. And how many people have had to leave the church? Now, it's very easy for us to be very general and say, oh, they shouldn't have left, blah, blah. But imagine if one of those people caused that kind of great harm in someone's life. It makes it very difficult for them to cling to that family, all right, because of what might have occurred in those relationships. And what we really need to be about is the healing of all of that, if we can. If it will be allowed, if someone will let us to do that. We need to be about the healing of all of those things. Because in reality, we know that not every father or mother was always up to the job. And some fathers and mothers, because of their own difficulties, and some children as well, weren't able to do it according to the way that we might have wanted, or that we might have wished. But we still sometimes have to, in our own lives, even if our own family didn't work for us, we've got to create family around us that continues to support us and love us and give us that place where we can grow in wisdom and grace and in favor. That's what we need to be about. And all of us need to cling to that. And all of us need to create that wherever we need to create it. Sometimes we have to become mother and father to ourselves. Sometimes we have to learn how to do some of those things. But we need to learn how to breathe through it and learn how God can still create from us a holy family, even when all the pieces, even on our own, don't always seem to fit. If it's any consolation, look at the Holy Family today. Okay? Now stop and think about this for a moment. In today's story, Joseph and Mary would have been turned over to DFS for child abandonment. Okay? And they would have, in today's culture. They would have been turned over to DFS for child abandonment. And in today's story, that's so strange. How could you leave your child in a city for 3 days and not know where they were? Okay, well, again, different culture, different times. I understand all that. But still, notice that it was not perfect. And I ask you, can you imagine Jesus is anything other than a smart-mouthed 12-year-old when he says to his mother, why were you worried? Didn't you know I was supposed to be about this? Lost in his own world, just like many 12-year-olds sometimes get, all right, especially in the throes of adolescence, there suddenly they get lost in their own little world because that's the only thing that really matters. It sounds very normal, doesn't it? I laugh because one preacher one time said, he said, the reason why we don't hear anything about Jesus from the time he's 12 until the time he's 33 is because he was grounded for all the rest of that time after that episode in Jerusalem. Okay? The Holy Family was not perfect in our eyes either. The Holy Family was not perfect in terms of the way it all worked out in terms of the nice story. But we still have to figure out how to be family. We still have to figure out how to support each other on our way to the kingdom. That's what family's for. And again, not doesn't all have to be about biology, but it does have to be about relationships. It has to be about how do we support each other on the way to the kingdom? How do we do those things? 32 years ago, when my presiding premiere, which was on the Feast of the Holy Family, okay, it was the 28th that year rather than the 29th, just the way the calendar hit. But on that day, Father Jim Telhorst, who I preached about a couple of weeks ago, Jim looked at everybody on that day and he said, you know, later today at the reception, you're going to be going up to Jay, now Father Jay, and you're going to be congratulating him and calling him Father for the first time, and you're going to be pressing envelopes into his hand and thanking him for his life and all those good things. And he said, and that's all a good thing, because indeed he is now, in our eyes, a spiritual father. But he also looked at everybody and he challenged everybody there. Because what he said to everybody was, he says, but don't you dare call him Father unless you're first willing to be family. Don't you dare call him Father unless you're first willing to be family. I know that we get that around here because I feel it and I think we experience it well. You forgive me my failings because of this relationship, and I forgive all of you yours because of this relationship. That's part of what a family does. But this morning I have to stretch you a little bit, because we are getting very narrow in the way that we think about family. I think it's very easy to love those who love us. It's very easy to call family our next door neighbor because we know their names. And I know this about you. If any of your next-door neighbors were ever in trouble, I could come to you and I could say to you, hey, your next-door neighbor, a member of your extended family, needs your assistance. Will you help? And I can guarantee you, just as sure as I stand here, that you'd rally to the cause and that you'd take care of whatever it was you needed to take care of. I understand that, and I know it, and I believe it about you, and I believe it about me. But here's where we're getting narrow. We have forgotten that sense of family on a larger and more universal plane. We've forgotten what that sense of family is supposed to be about. And so, sometimes we turn a deaf ear or a blind eye to the kids who may live in a different part of the world, whose names we don't know, who don't live next door to us. And we sometimes say, well, I don't care about that because I don't know them. Or I don't care about them because they're Muslim rather than Catholic. Or I don't care about them because they were born south of the Rio Grande River rather than north of it. And how does that represent a holy family? How does that get under our skin in the way that it should when there are members of the human race who struggle and are having difficulty, that there are members of the human race that suffer, and that doesn't do anything to our hearts? How can we claim to be a holy family, caring about each other in that web of relationships that exists between all of us? How can we care to claim about that if we sit here sometimes complacent and never at least even feel a pang of something that says to us things are not right in the world? Or how can we gather and kind of hunker down and protect ourselves and only care about those we love around us when we can't seem to break out of that kind of barrier in our minds that keeps us from caring about all those other children of God? Because when we stop to think about what is a holy family, it's all those who belong to God. And I dare you to show me one that doesn't belong to God. The challenge in our lives is to be a holy family. Yeah, we're never going to fit up to our own mental imaginations of what that holy family was like. I can't even begin to understand it. But what I am saying is that God still calls us to be a family that is holy. I know we can do that for each other, and I'm grateful for the ways that it happens in our lives. But my job today is to remind us that that sense of holy family has to expand just beyond all those that we know and all those that we love. If our challenge is to be a holy family, then we have no choice but to expand that sense of what it is to be God's children. And so on this Feast of the Holy Family, let's enjoy what we have, but let's challenge ourselves to be more. Because we dare not call each other mother, father, brother, sister, unless we continue to try to be a holy family.